all the unique characters.
I do let them bang. Yeah, I'm a legend, man. I'm building my legs.
All the stories and perspectives featured weekly.
I wasn't fully committed to that choke, and I kind of sunk into it, started squeezing tighter, and I kind of heard him gurgle a little bit. I was like, oh.
And all the combat sports you could ask for in the best state in the U.S.
Like I said, Ohio versus the world. It's going to happen for sure. Watch out.
It'll be cool, man. I'm not worried about it. I'm going to show them why the Ohio MMA scene is, in my opinion, one of the best MMA scenes in the country.
This is Forged in
OHIO.
OHIO. OHIO. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 70 of Forged in Ohio. My name is Jake Murrin, and I'm the host of the podcast. We're back consistently with episodes every Monday after having to take 2 weeks off in March, and I couldn't think of a better way to start April than with today's guest. He's the third-ranked pound-for-pound amateur fighter in the state of Ohio. With a 6-0 record, he holds 3 amateur titles. It's the incredibly impressive Tony, the Latin Assassin at Tortorici. Thanks for coming on the show, Tony, and welcome to Forged in Ohio, man.
Thank you for having me on it. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, of course, man. You're definitely a fighter I've had my eyes on for a long time. I want to start with your journey in combat sports. You debuted in 2020 at 32 years old. What encouraged you to actually get into mixed martial arts?
A buddy of mine a long time ago, Jeremy Joels, actually just hit me up to help him get ready for a fight. I mean, I was welding on cargo ships, so I was like, yeah, this would be cool just to help out someone. And then it turned into, hey, you might do pretty well. I'm like, you think? I'm kind of old. He's like, ah, you'll be fine. And then I met Daniel Yagabuchi at Upgraded and just kind of took off from there. Old man just trying something new.
Yeah, man. So when you had that fighter reach out to you as to become a training partner, did you have any prior experience in combat sports at all?
I wrestled since I was a wee little lad. I was probably about 4 when I started wrestling at Euclid JC's. And then I wrestled for the late coach Rich Hunter at West NY. Did a little bit. Joe Tusseri and Mike Turk at Euclid Central Middle School. And then a little bit of high school. And that was about it. I got a little, how do I say, I don't know, rebellious in high school.
So at what point after he reached out to you, did you actually realize that this was something that you wanted to do? And then, yeah, you could actually find some success in it.
I don't know. A while, because I was probably 235 pounds at that time. And also I was a little heavy. I was out of shape. I was like, I just thought he was being kind, you know, because I was getting beat up all the time. I mean, I still get beat up all the time, but it's very humbling. And you know, he just said, give it a shot, give it a shot. He kept poking me, kept encouraging me. And then, then I was like, okay, why not? Weight started coming off and I started, you know, landing more punches than getting hit. So I was like, let's give it a shot. I mean, I think I was 31 at the time. So it was right before COVID. So whatever year that was, I don't even know.
Yeah, what a time to get into the sport. How did COVID actually affect you when you first started getting into MMA?
I mean, basically everything got shut down. I was still working full time, 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. So work has never stopped for me. I've always been a blue collar worker, construction. Right now I'm in construction, heavy construction. But at then I was doing welding on cargo ships. So, I mean, I was busy. It just null and voided the training aspect. I would have to, you know, run by myself. That was it. Run by myself. I mean, I didn't know any striking. I didn't know anything. I was green.
Were people around you, whether it be coworkers or even family and friends, questioning your decision to compete in MMA at the time? Or did you have actually a lot of support at first when you said, hey, I want to give this a try?
A lot of my friends were like, oh, you should have been doing it a long time ago because of my wrestling background. My dad told me I was too old. But once he saw that I was serious and my weight was coming down, I mean, he's been very encouraging. And, you know, my mom, a typical mom, doesn't want to see her baby to get hit. But, you know, she's, you know, low key likes to see it.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of pictures on social media, what it looks like at your fights and how many people you're taking pictures with after your wins. It's like you bring an army to these fights. I'm sure you're pulled in every direction after these fights. What does it mean to you to have the support of so many loved ones now that you're well established in mixed martial arts?
Oh, it's great. It's very nice and humbling because the people that you see in the pictures are the people that help carry me through my camps, my days, because I mean, it gets rough. I mean, fatigue, tired, doubts, like that's no lie. I mean, there's a lot of doubts because I'm getting older. I mean, I'm 36 right now. I'll be 37 this year. You know, construction, 10-hour days, 5 days a week. There's a lot on my body and I have 5 kids. So I try to space everything out evenly, but I love them all. We're one big family. So everyone in those pictures you see have encouraged me and have supported me. And it's amazing because without them, I would have been done a long time ago.
How difficult is it to find time for fighting in your life? You mentioned the busy work life with construction, but also being a father of 5 children too.
It's very hard. I'm very blessed that my children and their mothers are able to take care of them. My parents help out a lot, my siblings. And then, you know, kids time is kids time. You know, family time is very important. And, you know, in my past, I've always took advantage of that. And I've slipped up. I'm human. You know, I'm an adult. I get pretty selfish sometimes, but my family's everything, you know, and finding that time, it's a necessity. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You have to do it. 24 hours in a day, if I get 4 hours of sleep, that's fine. You know, as long as I see my children, talk to them, doesn't matter.
Is it hard mentally, or do you do a good job of never wavering from the grind that is your life?
Oh, it's mentally taxing, for sure. But what is it? I mean, everyone has those mental draining days, some more than others, but everyone's there. You know, everyone's been there. I've been there. It's very draining, but it's, like I said, the group that I have, it's very humbling because, you know, my bluest days, they cheer me up, you know, and then, I mean, once I see my kids, hug them, kiss them, they ask questions, you forget all about it, you know.
What do the kids think of you and your fighting career?
Pretty cool. My older two, they think it's pretty cool. They're like, oh, you know, my dad fights. My dad does this. My dad's, you know, an old man. My son calls me an old man. He's like, he's an old man, but, you know, he's tough. You know, they look up to it. My little Layla, she always asks me, are you going to keep your hands up? Don't get hit? I'm like, I'm going to try. They're very encouraging. They love it. They want to be there.
So 5 kids, what's the actual age range there? What's your oldest and youngest?
My son just turned 18. I have a 16-year-old, a 12, a 9, and my youngest is 18 months.
Oh, wow. So for all the way from 18 years old down to 18 months, what's that age difference like there for you?
I'm blessed. My son is my oldest. He's amazing. He's the best big brother I could ever ask for. And my daughters, I got 4 girls. So 1 boy, 4 girls. Melissa, she's my little sassy one. But she's tough, you know, I hate to say it, but like my son, I wanted him to be like super tough and I was a little rough on him in the beginning, you know, but as time grew on, my daughter, Alyssa, softened me up. Alanise, she softened me up. That's my little wrestler. Alanise is my little wrestler. She's a little stud. Layla's my dancer, my little tap dancer. You know, she loves to get dressed up in dresses and makeup and go out there and tap. Miss Vienna. She's a character, I'll tell you that. She's a very strong-willed, as all my kids are, but they're great.
Yeah, man. So being a father of 5, what kind of like motivation do you draw from them when it comes to fighting? I know a lot of fighters at, you know, the big stage talk about the difference, their approach, you know, to fighting when they become a father. You being a father of 5, do you draw a lot of motivation from them and almost like you're fighting for them?
I just try to keep them as I saw my dad, like Superman. My father was my Superman, you know, so I'm trying to present that to them, you know, just be their Superman, be that, you know, that solid foundation, tough. Doesn't matter what's going on. He's there. He's, yeah. Yeah, they drive me, you know. I mean, I'm thankful for my dad. So he's been a huge role model for me. So, I mean, that's something that I'm trying to live up to. But, yeah, being their Superman, being that rock for them.
How would you describe your fighting style for fans who might not necessarily be familiar with your fights? I know personally I tried watching some of your tape on YouTube. I actually couldn't find a single fight of yours except for your most recent Muay Thai fight.
I'm a wrestler. You know, bottom line, that's what I do. We don't wait from that. I've been working on my hands, you know, kicks, all that, but wrestling. Get it to the ground, pound, submissions, you know, that's the name of the game. But trying to mix it up, better each fight, I'm trying to become better. Being able to mix it up, ground and pound, stand up, you know, take what they give me.
You train out of Upgraded Industries out of Mentor, Ohio, I believe. You're the first fighter from the gym to actually join me on Forge in Ohio. So what has that place done for you and your career as you progress as an amateur?
Everything. Everything. Daniel Jagabucci's has done absolutely everything for me. Billy Friedson, my boxing, Muay Thai, Luke Freshour, you know, they have literally helped me with everything. Financially, you know, they've given me a place to stay when I'm just, you know, just having a day. Words of encouragement, advice, you know, a shoulder to cry on, hugs, black eyes, you know, they give me everything. You know, I wouldn't be here, you know, all the knowledge and athletes and wrestlers we have coming through here, strikers. I mean, they built me from the ground up.
Yeah, man. Who are some other guys there at the gym that more Ohio MMA fans should be aware of as Upgraded Industries continues to grow?
We have Chris Draghi. He was there wrestling and beating me up when I was first getting ready for my debut. He's 4-1, I believe, in MMA. My cousin, Anthony Perazoli, he's 6-0 right now. I think he has 5 Muay Thai fights and 1 boxing fight, all finishes. Ronald, the Cuban Missile Crisis. He has a fight coming up April 16th. That man is athletic and he hits hard. I mean, he has some cannons. Let's see, who else? Man. Another one of our boxing buddy, Luke Monroe. Man, he put me on the spot. My Tyler, he had 1 MMA fight, 1 boxing fight. He's 1-1 right now. He's another wrestler, former wrestler. You know, see all these guys just come in and help. A lot of people on the BJJ side, they come up, choke me out, submit me. And let's see who else. We got a lot of female up-and-comers. We have Holly, Chase, Megan, Arabella. We have a good little crew coming up. Yeah, watch out for all of them. They're gonna come in and make some noise, and I'm excited.
Yeah, a lot of men and women to watch out for out of Upgraded Industries, that's for certain. Talking with Tony, the Latin Assassin Tortorici on Forged in Ohio. Let's dive into your 6 MMA fights now. I mentioned the debut that came in 2020. You actually competed in December and then again in January, picking up both wins inside the distance. How special was that start to what became an incredible amateur career?
Good. Good. I mean, I've always been confident in the fact that if I do what I'm supposed to, if I listen to my coaches, my trainers, and do everything to the T, that, you know, success is high. It's been like that since I was a kid. So I did everything I was supposed to, you know, I listened, and, you know, that first fight went well. So while they're like, you want another one? I'm like, yeah, right away. And found out real quick that, you know, little time in between is okay. Because that was kind of a quick turnaround. And then it was pretty sweet having 2 stoppages, submission, and then a ref stoppage in the second fight. It's pretty cool. So it was a good confidence builder, you know, because I'm telling you, when it comes to the gym, I I don't walk out unscathed. I walk out a mess.
That's the way to do it, right? Make sure the more difficult fights take place in the gym. That way, when you go out there for an actual fight, one, it's less difficult, and two, you're even more prepared to make sure that you're ready wherever the fight goes.
100%, yes.
Going back to like how you actually got into mixed martial arts, were you hearing from people after the debut win that you should have gotten into this sooner at your age, you know, with the knockout win there, you should have gotten in this sooner?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They're like, oh, I'm like, man, I didn't know where to start. I didn't know where to go. I think back in the day, let's say when I was 21, so what, 15 years ago, only two places I could remember is Strong Style and what was the other one? I don't know. Strong Style was always the big one. You know what I mean? And, you know, so when it came down to it, you just forget about it. You know, it just back in your mind, I wish, woulda, shoulda, coulda. You know, so when everyone was saying, I'm like, I would have if I knew, but you don't, you know. And at that time, you know, it's trying to take care of my family. So never really had that huge opportunity to do it until I got to upgraded. I'm telling you, he paved the way to just set up everything for me to train and feel confident.
Those first two fights, that's not the only time in your career that you fought in back-to-back months. I know you just said that maybe some more time in between is nice, but how difficult is that to do, especially physically and on your body?
I'm hard-headed, so it's very hard. I did that again for my first two titles, actually. I fought February 19th in, was it Morgantown? West Virginia, and then literally 2 weeks later, I fought for Ohio Combat League for 170 in Morgan's in West Virginia for made men's, and then 185 for OCL. 2 weeks, literally 2 weeks. I fought on a Saturday, and two Saturdays later, I was fighting again, and it destroyed my body. I threw out my back, actually. Right before, like three fights before I was going out for my fifth fight, I literally threw out my back. I was in so much pain and agony and so stiff. I was like, this is horrible. And after that, I was like, yeah, I need more than 2 weeks, but I'm hard at it. I did it again. I fought October 29th. For made men's again for 185 title. And then I fought 10 days later in the Muay Thai fight. And that was brutal. I mean, I was sore. I was hurt. Mentally, I was tired. Just, it's like a rush. You know, you get this huge rush and then you come down and then you're trying to shoot right back up on that rush. And it's like, oof, it's draining. It's a roller coaster. So I like roller coasters, but my body doesn't.
Yeah, man, that's incredible. And it's why I have so much respect for you and all fighters and what they have to go through to find success in this career path. For you, you know, you mentioned just throwing out your back before one of those fights. With that pain and going through a fight like that, what gets you through? Is it that rush? Is it the adrenaline? Is that what pushes you through and gets you through a fight like that?
It's mainly since I was a kid, right? All the older guys, you know, they always have these stories and you think they're cool, right? I was hurt. I was this, you know, fourth down, 1 second left on the clock. And, you know, I had a broken hand and I made this game saving tackle, you know, so everyone wants these stories. Everyone wants this, like, ah, man, I overcame this huge adversity and came out on top. And that's what drove me as a kid. I always wanted that. And then I got in those hard wrestling battles where, you know, double, triple overtime, you know, winning by the skin of my teeth, you know, breaking a finger, breaking a nose, breaking my rib. I broke my hip right before Fargo. Like, it's just trying to be tough, you know, saving face. I mean, I'm the type of person, I sign up, I'm ready for it. I'm going to do it, you know, and yeah, it's just basically me telling myself, don't be a sissy, I guess you would say, you know, you're here. You know, win or lose, this is what you asked for. Just go out and do it.
Safe to say you've compiled a good number of stories that you can tell one day?
Yeah. My body can tell them too. I mean, if you watch me walk around, I mean, after that fifth fight, I had the belt, but I was hunched over walking. Like, you wouldn't believe that I just fought 10 minutes prior. Like, it was bad. It was really bad.
Is that the craziest experience you've had so far in fighting, or is there a more wild one in your collection of stories?
I mean, I can't really remember when I was 100% for any fight. I had a torn ACL for all five of my fights. And then we had some issues trying to get fights. So I took a long layoff. I had surgery. I had a complete ACL repair, had a partially torn MCL, a bucket tear of the meniscus. So we decided to get it fixed. I mean, fighting was kind of just on the back burner at that point because fights were falling through and I'm getting older. I was like, well, let's just, you know, take care of this. So my first five fights, I didn't have an ACL and I had a partially torn MCL. So, I mean, that's the craziest, like, stories I could tell you. You know, I've broken my hand, obviously, but people are like, you're crazy when I tell them I had a completely torn ACL for all five of my fights. Bucket tear of the meniscus and a partially torn MCL. All five of my fights, so.
Does that give you confidence that, you know, you looked so good in those fights with a torn ACL and meniscus and everything that you're going through that when you actually go into a fight, hopefully 100% or as close to 100% as you can be, that you're going to show off a completely different and upgraded game?
I would like to think so. You know, I always want to see what my potential could be. You know, everyone has injuries and little adversities go over. So, you know, when it comes to it, I just think it's like anyone in the business has these stories, you know. So anyone that is an MMA fighter, even steps in the boxing ring cage, 100% respect for them, because I know, you know, if they're training, they're hurt, they're tired, you know, just like me. And, you know, no one's going to ever go in 100%, you know. So I don't know. It's crazy.
You mentioned the experience of fighting for your first amateur championship. What felt better, winning your first, second, or third amateur MMA championship?
I mean, the first one's always the sweetest, you know, because that's your first taste of actual, like, you know, you did something. Besides just win a fight, it was actually for something. My first fight was my first one. My second fight, my father was able to come and watch me. So that was very special to me. My third fight, a lot of my friends and family showed up. You know, I was nowhere near 100%. And in all honesty, I probably shouldn't have fought. I mean, I didn't run. I didn't, you know, I couldn't. You know, my knee wasn't 100%, but I jumped the gun and I signed that contract. And I'm like, well, you know, try to be a man of your word, right, as best you can. Showed up the best I could, you know, in front of my friends, family. My older two children were there, so that was nice. So I could take something away from all of it. First one's, you know, that first taste. Second one, my old man was there to watch me win. And third one, friends and family were able to show up and support me. So they all have a special place in my heart.
Did you feel a lot of pressure going into these fights, knowing that not only are you not 100% going into them, but it is for an amateur title and you have so many loved ones in attendance?
Pressure's always there. I find it crazy. And I wish these people would go in and be like, I'm calm, I'm this. I'm a nervous wreck. So when it gets in front of my family and friends, it's way worse. I'm like, you know, don't shit the bed here. We gotta perform, you know? So the pressure is there a little more. So I'm trying to think, cause it goes by so fast, and trying to, you know, comprehend and absorb the emotions in it. It's really hard to say. They're all very like nerve wracking. Friends and family, I think it gave me a little more confidence to do it in front of them because I was in my home city. So it's just, you know, I'm used to being there. I'm used to being around family and, you know, coming away with a W in wrestling at least, you know. And so I was a little more confident, a little easier because I was 10 minutes away from the venue. So it was, you know, a little comforting, but the pressure was definitely there. Yeah. Yeah.
How do you manage that when it comes to fighting itself? Does it just like a flip switch in your head when the cage door locks and you're in there and then all that goes away? How does that work for you?
Little prayer beforehand. Deep breath and, you know, just understanding that, you know, I did everything I could to this point. It's just having fun, you know. So the nerves kind of shut off. They're still kind of there, but once the ref goes, let's fight. I mean, it's a fight. I mean, that's what I signed up for.
Yeah, no doubt, man. You know? So out of your six MMA fights, of course, you're 6-0. Do you consider one of them to be your favorite?
No, they were all, like I said, they were all something special. I mean, I can take something away from him. Devin was my first fight. I mean, him and I still talk every once in a while. He's a police officer. I respect the hell out of him. He's a nice man. Single father, an excellent father. You know, let's see, Jaleel, my second opponent, I ran into at a Walmart. Very respectful, very nice guy. You know, we chopped it up a little bit. Dylan comes up every once in a while and trains. Chase, he's a funny guy, hell of a grappler. Our team's kind of joined in the BJJ area, so I got to see him a little bit. Hopefully, gonna cross train with him. Marcus was, you know, tough. He was probably one of the stronger ones that I can remember because I was just like, holy shit. Like, everyone's strong. Everyone has their strengths, but there was just something he was tough, you know, very experienced. I think he was 5-4 at that time, you know, but still, that's a hell of a lot of experience. Let's see. That was my fifth one. Jesse, you know, nice guy, very nice guy. You know, taller. He was strong too. You know, so they were all tough. They were all hard. And I took something away from each and every one of it.
Yeah, man. You mentioned Devin Gelati, who was one of your earlier fights, and yeah, I was actually featured on Forge in Ohio a couple months ago. What's it like building a relationship actually with your opponents after a fight like that? I always find that interesting when opponents who fight in a war inside the cage can actually be friendly and build a relationship afterward.
I mean, I think that's the sportsmanship about it. I mean, he messaged me the next day, and very polite and well-mannered, you know, I think it's great. Cause I mean, a lot of times cross training is key to, you know, opening your game up, you know, just learning new things, going to different places. And sometimes you just have to fight your neighbor, just like wrestling. You have to wrestle your neighbor. You got to wrestle. I mean, some of my best friends I've wrestled. Actually, one of my best friends, Josh Roller, him and I wrestled a few times back in the day on the same wrestling team. That guy's like my brother. And, you know, and his dad, every time I see him, he bear hugs the hell out of me. And, you know, his dad and my dad will stay in contact every once in a while. They'll chop it up. So I think it's a good thing. You know, there's no hard feelings. It's all business in there. We both signed the contract. We're both training the best of our abilities, and we go in, and you know, the best man wins that day. No bad blood at all.
Yeah, I love the Josh Rock and Roller shout out there as well. Another former guest on Forge in Ohio, great fighter as well. Your last appearance in fighting was actually in a Muay Thai contest in November where you won via split decision. Why did you decide to go over and fight in Muay Thai?
There was an opportunity, and my cousin Anthony Perazzi was doing it, and he's like, you should do it. I'm like, yeah, I should do it. Yeah, sure, why not? So I did it. I just got done fighting. I'm like, I'm feeling good. Why not? You know, so it was just spur of the moment.
Coming from a wrestling background, was there any discomfort going out there and not being able to use that wrestling background that you have and just, you know, relying on your other tools to pick up a win?
No, I do a lot of stand up. It's just, you know, always resorting back to second nature. So there was a couple of times where I kind of wanted to shoot in. It was perfect, but I didn't. But no, I enjoyed it. I was sick as a dog. That's what I'm telling you. Every time I take these flights and I take another flight shortly afterwards, so I'm sick. Like, my body needs to recover. I'm not 22. I'm not 23. I'm 36. And I have to remember that, you know, but it's hard. I'm hard-headed. So it was great. I liked it. It was just spur of the moment. I felt comfortable, you know, and, you know, I was lucky enough to come away with a split decision.
What did you learn from that fight and training camp, I guess, that you could maybe bring to what you offer inside an MMA cage?
Cardio is key. And any kind of illness or sickness definitely drains you. So basically, a healthy eating regimen, sleep regimen is very key. That's what I take away from it all the time. I mean, you only get one body, so treat it right.
Yeah, it sounds like throughout your career, you've learned to maybe not take certain fights when you did take them.
Yes. Yeah. You get that rush, you know, you get that rush and like you say yes. And before you even think about it, but you know, once you sign, that's a done deal.
Once again, this is Tony, the Latin Assassin at Tortorici with us on Forged in Ohio. It's been about 5 months since you last competed in mixed martial arts. When can fans expect to see you in there again?
June 1st.
June 1st. Already booked the day.
June 1st. Yeah, just signed the contract the other day.
All right, man. That's exciting stuff. So is that going to be another amateur fight, your seventh one, or could this be a pro debut?
No, definitely another amateur. I want to see how – so I have Golden Gloves coming up April 20th, and then I have the fight June 1st, and see how those go. Like I said, I'm only getting older. So we see how these fights go and, you know, maybe shoot for a pro debut by the time I'm 37. Who knows? You know, just enjoying it, taking it while I can and, you know, listening to my body and my coaches. I mean, they're really ultimately going to decide all that. I have a lot to work on. You know, I always am trying to adapt and just grow in any aspect, stand up, ground, and all that. So there's a lot of things I still need to work on. But yeah, two amateur fights, and we'll see what happens after that.
All right, so that's the goal, to take two more amateur fights and then turn pro after that.
Yeah, I mean, my coaches give me the thumbs up. Why not? I'm hopefully looking forward to staying undefeated, so I'm gonna work hard, and we'll see how it goes, because I mean, I think it'd be pretty cool to turn pro. Everyone tries to tell me, like, look at Randy Couture, you know, I'm like, man, these guys were in that game and doing all this other stuff too before that, you know, but it's their way of motivating me to keep me, you know, moving. And I mean, ain't nothing wrong with Randy Couture.
Yeah, you got that right, man. So this June 1st fight, is there a fourth amateur title on the line for you in this one?
There is, actually, yes. Yeah, so we'll see how this goes. Got to get back down to 170. So it's gonna be fun. I'm a fat kid at heart. I like to eat. You know, I think I can eat enough for like 3-4 people sometimes. Like I said, when I first started MMA, I was about 235. And so I walk around like 215, 220. So, you know.
Is that
hard work, right?
That weight cut hard for you?
No, I wouldn't say I've ever had like a hard weight cut. Always in the beginning when I'm out of shape, you know, it's like, but once I get the ball moving, that weight just falls right off. My body has been good to me when it comes to that, you know, just adjusting and adapting, and just I shed that weight, you know, and the mental thing about it too, you know, just push, you know, just keep going. I mean, the worst times to run is when I run, you know, worst weather out there. There's a blizzard, I'm running, you know, I'm going to get my 3-4 miles in a blizzard. Negative degree weather, I'm running. It's raining, I'm running. It's nice out, I'm not going to run. You know what I mean? it's just the mental thing, you know, just, I don't know, just, you know, just, I can't really explain it. I have it. Like, I want to say, like, it's just like, I don't know, Mother Nature toughens you up. You know, you can't stop in a blizzard. You got to keep going. You know, you go 4 miles one way, you got to go 4 miles back. Survival.
So you mentioned you like to eat, and I've had fun asking this question to fighters in the past. What's your go-to meal after a big win?
Oh, my goodness. So last time, my mother made me lasagna. I love lasagna. But I literally eat the worst stuff you can ever think of. I love my wings, mozzarella sticks, pizza, burger, and you throw them on anything and I'll eat it. Sweets. I have a huge sweet tooth. So you throw some ice cream cake in there and it's perfect.
Yeah, all good options, man. So this fight on June 1st, is this fight taking place in the state of Ohio or are you going out and traveling again?
No, this one's going to be in Ohio. I believe in Akron.
Oh, good stuff, man. Close to my stopping grounds. Maybe I'll come out and see you fight on the first, man. That'll be exciting. You haven't finished a fight inside the distance since your fourth MMA fight about 2 years ago. Are you looking to get back to your finishing ways when you make that walk?
Oh, yeah. Always trying to get the finish, you know. It's grind time, you know. There's no playing around. There's no, you know, extra stuff. It's just hard work, go to work, hard work, family, and repeat. You know, rinse and repeat every day.
All right, man. Well, aside from the fight, just what are some of your goals as you kind of wrap up a very successful amateur career and pretty soon here decide to turn pro and join those ranks?
What are my goals? Well, ultimate goal is hopefully stay undefeated, right? That's the ultimate goal. That's the cherry on top, right? As the amateur part goes, you know, just staying healthy, undefeated, and just to be the best I can be, and then turn pro and see where that takes me. You know, even if it's one, that's fine. Like I said, I'm 36. I'll be 37 in September. Not getting any younger, and it costs a lot of money to for them to tell me I'm old and healthy.
That's a funny way of putting it, man. So do you feel any pressure given your age to be super active and put some finishes together in order to achieve what you want to achieve in this sport? Or like you said, if you just fight once as a pro one day, that'll be okay with you?
No pressure. No pressure. One day at a time. You know, God willing, I can do this for a couple more years, right? If everything stays according to plan, you know, staying healthy and all that, just keep going, you know, until the wheels fall off pretty much, right? As long as everything stays in working order, why stop?
Do you have those big illustrious goals that most fighters I talk to have of fighting for the UFC one day? Or are you good at zoning in and just taking it fight by fight, it sounds like?
Fight by fight. Definitely fight by fight. I mean, anything can happen. Anything can happen. And, you know, first and foremost, my family is most important. You know, fighting's great and all, but, you know, my kids take precedence, work takes precedence. You know, you can't have fun and not work hard, you know, so constantly every day. You know, I don't do the, what is it, 9 to 5. I do like the 6:30 to 5 and, you know, muster up the energy to get 2-3 hours of training in. You know, kiss my kids, talk to my kids, text my kids, you know, my off days, spend my time with my kids. It's, you know, so the pressure is just to stay as active in their lives. That's it. Fight. That's just an added bonus, you know.
Yeah, I admire your approach to the fight game, and I also admire the hard work that you put in every single day with work, being a father, and of course trying to pursue this MMA career as well, man. I thought this was a great chat. Before we wrap up, is there anything you want to shout out or plug here at the back end of the podcast?
Everyone at Upgraded Industries, thank you for your support, everyone out there. Golden Gloves, April 20th. June 1st, MMA. Check it out. Fall, Forged in Ohio. I mean, I appreciate you having me, Jake. I mean, this is a this is kind of cool. I get to go run and tell my kids, you know, and they'll be excited. I mean, I look kind of corny and cheesy, but, you know, I appreciate it. And mad respect to all the MMA fighters, boxers, Muay Thai, kickboxers, you know, mad respect.
There you have it, man. Thanks again, Tony, for joining me on the show. I followed your career for a while, and I'm grateful to have featured it now on Forged in Ohio. Before I let you go, I like getting my guests out of here by doing the OHIO chant. So, OHIO. Thanks, Tony. Thanks again for coming on the show. I can't wait to see you compete on June 1st, and we'll connect again down the line, that's for sure.
All right, sounds good, Jake. Thank you.
That was Tony, the Latin assassin, Tonarici, the 6-0 amateur mixed martial artist and third-ranked pound-for-pound amateur fighter in the state of Ohio. Tony's done a lot as an amateur, and he's definitely a fighter that Ohio MMA fans should be aware of as he continues his combat sports journey on June 1st. In MMA anyway. I'm sorry again for missing the 2 weeks of Forge in Ohio that I did in March. I know to all of you that might not be a big deal, but to me it weighs on me a little bit more than you would know. So we started April strong and will continue to be the best and most consistent combat sports podcast out of Ohio. If you want to support this journey, don't forget to download episodes while you listen to them and subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're watching, and at Forged in Ohio is where you can find the show on both Instagram and Facebook. Thank you all for watching or tuning in. I've been your host, Jake Murrin, and this was Forged in Ohio.